So that actually leads us to the topic, the feature or the aspect of the recovery version that we'd like to cover tonight. Let's read that title together. The key to unlock the Bible, God's economy. So you want to unlock the Bible? Well, to unlock it, there's a key. The key is God's economy. Well, what's God's economy? We'll find out. Amen. So just as a brief overview, we'll see what economy is. It's not what you think. We'll see Bible translations, different versions, how they translate this word oikonomia, how Paul uses God's economy to unlock the Old Testament, and God's economy as a key to unlock the Bible. Some examples in the recovery version, and then a brief conclusion. And this is a topic that takes 2 years and a full-time way to study, and I will do it in 10 minutes. Okay, so what is economy? Let's read that first point together. Word in the Bible, Greek, oikonomia. Okay, so economy here is a Greek word, oikonomia. So what oikonomia means, we'll find out on the next slide. But let's have my half of the room read this middle point here. Unto the oikonomia of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens, and the things on the earth in Him. And the other half of the room, the third one? To give heed to myths. So this shows that this word economy, we didn't make it up, okay? It's in the Greek, it's in the Bible, okay? So these two verses show that. Okay, so this word economy is a compound of the two nouns oikos and nomos, okay, in Greek. Oikos means house or household, and nomos means law, administration, or management. Let's read this middle point all together. Thus, oikonomia means household administration or household management, denoting a plan with a process of distributing or dispensing to reach its goal. So out of this word, this Greek word, oikonomia, came the Greek English word, economy. Okay, so in case that sounded all Greek to you, I'm going to attempt to explain it again in English with an example. We all live in a family. In the family, there is a father. He is the head of the household. Okay, typically, he makes the money for the family, and he provides the resources necessary for the family to survive. Well, when we are all kicking and screaming as little kids, obviously, we couldn't fend much for ourselves. We needed this kind of dispensing or this kind of administration or a kind of distribution to distribute the wealth in the family to us, right? We couldn't go out and hunt and whatever, fish or whatever. But we needed, we relied on the father to make the money to feed the family so that we could all grow up healthy and fat like me. This household requires the father to have a kind of household arrangement or a household law, household administration, to properly dispense the riches in that family to every member for the survival of the family. In the same way, God is our Father, and we are all God's children. And we all are basically kicking and screaming little kids, and we all need God to have, God needs to have an administration, a distribution of this wealth. Actually, this wealth is just Himself. It's not material riches, it's not knowledge, it's just Himself. Into all His children, which is each and every single one of us. So, in the Bible, we have God's economy, which is just the distribution of all the wealth, all the riches of God, which is God Himself, to all the believers, right? And this is economy, okay? It's not money. It's not knowledge. It's Himself. Amen. Okay. Oh. Okay, Bible translations of oikonomia. Bible translators have employed a variety of English words in their attempts to translate the term oikonomia. In 1 Timothy 1:4 and Ephesians 1:10 and 3:9, it is more precisely rendered economy or dispensation, for it denotes God's overall plan. Okay, so this word, economy, we're familiar with this by now. In 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 3:2, and Colossians 1:25, it is more accurately described as stewardship, for it refers not to God's economy in a general sense, but to man's participation and service in God's economy. So you see two aspects here. In all these verses, the Greek word is the same. It's oikonomia. But in the first set of verses, it refers to God's plan and God's, the Father's, distribution of his wealth. So it's related to economy. But in these second set of verses, it refers more to man's participation, man's attitude, to borrow Leo's word. Man's, basically from man's side, our experience. We reach out and we grab and we partake of this arrangement and make this arrangement our own, right? That is stewardship, okay? So let's take a look. We have different versions here translating this word, oikonomia. You have the same verses that we saw on the previous slide on the right here. And you have, I'm not going to go through each one, but you have a couple of different other words here. If you just look at it, you can clearly see the difference. I don't know what else to say about this, right? You have dispensation, which is pretty good. Well, put into effect, that kind of becomes a little more vague, right? Because economy captures the fact that it's a distribution to all of us, right? But just to put into effect, it doesn't describe how this plan works. Right, you have administration, sounds a bit more legal, of a plan, work, edifying. Edifying has lots of different meanings, right? So anyways, you can just see that there's a difference here. The one who translated the Bible really saw the vision of God's economy to translate this word in this way, right? Okay, so in the New Testament, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote, guaranteed 13 of the epistles in the New Testament, and he uses God's economy to unlock the Old Testament. Okay, so let's read this first point together. Whenever Paul wanted to explain the mystery of God, that is to unlock the Old Testament, he used the word oikonomia. Okay, and the second one too. Of which I became a minister according to the oikonomia of God, which was given to me for you. Heed the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. So you see here, you have a mystery, but you also have economy. And this verse shows us that this economy, God's plan, God's administration, was hidden in throughout all the ages. In the Old Testament, you have many people who was recorded trying to figure out what God's plan is, arguing with God, wrestling with him. A very clear example is Job, right? That just crushes our concept. He was a righteous person, upright person, but God still allowed all these things to happen to him. And in the end, he came to a kind of a vague conclusion. He said, God is almighty, but he didn't quite grasp. He didn't grasp what God's economy is, what God is trying to do. Well, here, through Paul, praise the Lord, this economy has been revealed to us, right? In the New Testament, this mystery has now been opened to us. All right, two more verses. How about my half of the room read the first one? Known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, unto the oikonomia of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. And the other half, second one? So two more verses here to show wherever the mystery is related to, you have God's economy. God's economy is this mystery that now has been opened and unlocked to us. Okay? So, what's God's economy? All right, so we know that it's God's plan, right? But God's economy is God's economy. So the source is God, right? God's plan. This process of this, how this plan is carried out is dispensing. Let's read this, the yellow part together. God in Christ dispensing himself into his chosen and redeemed people to be their life, life supply, and everything. Okay, this isn't just God granting us a mansion or a Beamer whenever we ask for it, or when we're jobless to grant us a job, although all these things, while we may be blessed with these things, but the real God's economy is God dispensing himself into us to be our life, our life supply, and everything. That means whatever we do, however we work, we don't rely on ourselves, but actually rely on the supply that is within us, right? Just like you guys ate dinner before coming here, hopefully. And that dinner is now our supply to be here in this meeting to listen to this word and for me to speak this word without falling asleep. That is, in the same way, God is our life and our life supply and our everything. But this process has a goal, right? Okay, let's read that together. The goal is the corporate expression of God so that they may be built up as the church, the body of Christ, consummating in the new Jerusalem, right? This is God's plan. This is God's goal, okay? And this is the principle with which we interpret and we read the Bible, right? So God's economy is the key to unlock the Bible, right? Let's read the first one together. Grasping the central revelation of the Bible, Christ and the church. All right, the Lord said, you search the scriptures. It is these that testify concerning me. And also I also say to you, upon this rock I will build my church. God revealed to Peter that Christ is the Son of the living God. But the Lord here said, that is not enough. I also reveal to you that upon this rock I will build my church. This is his goal. This is what he is doing. And the Apostle Paul, he said the same thing. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. Right? We don't want to cut the verse off, right? And just say, well, you're supposed to be married and the wife is joined to the husband. Don't stop there, right? The whole point of this is Christ and the church. Right? This is the central point of the entire Bible. Okay, two, the central process of God's economy is God's dispensing. So Christ is life, and the church is produced through the dispensing of Christ into the believers as life. It's not through our doing, it's not through our learning, but it's through Christ working himself, dispensing himself into you as our life, right? This is just like our eating, right? We don't want to study the food that we eat. We don't want to smell it and smell how good it is, right? We want to eat it. Right. This may sound like heresy to some of you, but obviously it's not eating, you know, the flesh of Christ. But we're really, when we're reading the Bible, we're contacting him. We actually take him into us, and actually he, in a sense, he replaces us with himself. So in our daily living, when we live, it's not we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Okay. All right. This next point is quite dense. I'll just read it. God's economy includes forgiveness of sins, cleansing of sins, justification, reconciliation, positional sanctification, regeneration, shepherding, sanctification, renewing, transformation, building up, confirmation, and glorification. This embraces both the justification emphasized by the Western churches and the sanctification emphasized by Eastern churches. So here we see the Western churches recovered a truth related to justification, right? That was mainly from Martin Luther. Then we have Eastern churches, they recover this point on sanctification. Well, it's both, right? After we are justified, after we're saved, we still need to go through this process here. Sanctification, shepherding, sanctification, renewing, transformation, building up, confirmation, and glorification. Amen. Right? This is the process that we're going through. This is God's economy. Sorry, I don't have much time to go into this. So Apostle Paul's charge, let's read this together. I charge certain ones not to teach different things other than God's economy, or to give heed to myths and unending genealogies, which produce questionings rather than God's economy, which is in faith. This was Paul's charge. The churches at that time, they started to fall to different things, to religion, to different rituals, even to culture, to philosophy, to genealogies, all these things. But Paul, from the revelation he received from the Lord, he charges Timothy to teach only God's economy. Amen. Right? So this is the principle with which the Recovery Version is translated and interpreted. All the footnotes, all the cross-references, the subject, the outline, the charts, everything was put in there in the principle of God's economy, which is in faith, right? We're not here to study the Bible. It is historically completely accurate, right? It also provides good teachings, good morals, but we're not here to focus on that. That is not the point we read the Bible. There's plenty of other books for that. The Bible reveals to us God's economy. No other book in the world can give us this except for the Bible. So we need to have our eyes open to see God's economy. Okay. Let's have some more slides. So Exodus here, we have two footnotes here. I'm out of time, aren't I? Two more minutes. Okay. How about my half of the room? Let's read this first point. All its furnishings is a full and complete tithe of both the individual Christ as a head and the corporate Christ as a body, the church, including many details of the experience of Christ for the church. If we recall, I don't remember what the subject of the book of Exodus is, but I think Christ and the church shows up in there a couple of times, right? Whereas some of the other versions, the summary is how God led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? But actually we see in this footnote, even in Exodus, even in the seemingly story book, we see Christ and the church. You see, in many places where Christ is trying to call his church, right? And here, you have the dimensions of the ark. You have halves of 3 and 5. And this says that the ark is a testimony, another half being needed to make a complete unit, a full testimony. This implies that Christ needs the church as his counterpart to be a testimony in full in humanity, right? So this is also another point in Exodus where we see God's economy in the Old Testament. Okay, and here, the second example, Romans, right? We see the source in 1:1 is God, right? This is the gospel of God. Then in chapters 1-8, you have the process of economy, which is dispensing, right, through justification, sanctification, glorification. That's to make sinners sons of God. And then the last half of the subject is to constitute the body of Christ, which is expressed as the local churches, right? You see God, you see Christ, and you see the church, right? So the chapters 9-16, you have the goal, the corporate expression of God, the body of Christ expressed as the local churches, right? This is God's economy, right? The Bible doesn't reveal anything else to us except God's economy. And this is the principle with which we interpret the Bible, right? So conclusion. The economy of God, as revealed in the Bible, and particularly exemplified in Paul's writings, is the key to unlock and interpret God's Word. The Recovery Version, following the patterns of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, is a unique Bible translation which focuses on God's economy. Through the study of the Recovery Version with the enlightenment of the Spirit, the readers may see the vision of God's economy and thus acquire the key to cut straight the word of the truth, right? So following the presentation earlier that Leo gave us, if you want to be overcomers, we have to see God's economy, right? So if you don't have a Recovery Version, pick one up. You want to see God's economy, right? I didn't translate the Recovery Version, by the way, so I can promote it, right? The God's Recovery Version really reveals to us God's economy, right? And this God's economy, this enlightenment, this being open to us, being unlocked, will help us to become the overcomers that would become the first fruits for that to the pleasure of the Lord. Amen. Okay.